إن الحمد لله تعالى نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we thank him and we bear witness that there is no deity but him and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. May Allah peace and prayers be shed upon him, his companions, his household and those who follow him until the day of judgment. Ya Rabbal Alameen. We started last time explaining and talking about principles and concepts that are very useful towards understanding of the Holy Quran. And we started the highest level of abstraction, which is talking about the books of Allah in general, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has two books. One is the created book of the universe around us, is the book of the created universe around us. And the second one is the written book, which is the Holy Quran in our hand. Both books have endless giving and endless discoveries. The more we live, the more we look, the more we study, the more we get. Both books never expire. Every day we have new discoveries in the universe. And it's enough to know that scientists have estimated that we understand only 3% of the energy that exists in this universe. 97% of this energy in this universe is unknown to us, and they call it the dark energy. They have no idea what it is. We can only understand 3%. And as Allah said, وَمَا أُتِيتُم مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا, you have given only very little knowledge, almost nothing, compared to the amount of knowledge that available there. And on the other hand, the Holy Quran is also have endless giving. It's a book that never expires. You know, any book has a limited number of ideas and concepts. Once the author publishes the book, people read it, they learn what's in it, and then it expires. You know, it's no longer applicable, it's out of the print, nobody is interested in reading it anymore, and so forth. This doesn't apply to the Holy Quran. It's the most read book in the world today, never out of print. More and more copies are printed. And anybody who goes to the Quran asking for guidance, the Quran will always provide that person guidance. So it has endless giving, as long as the person has the interest and the sincerity, and then goes the Quran with a heart full of sincerity, then the Quran is going to give that person the guidance that he's looking for, and will inspire the person. It's also, you know, in addition to the knowledge, it has elements that inspires the heart of the Muslims and the heart of the believers. Now, the Quran, now let's go down a little bit and zoom on the Quran itself. A lower level of abstraction. The Quran contains three main components. The first component that the Quran contains is the component that talks about fixed rules and regulations. Fixed rules and regulations, or in general, guidance of life, that, you know, defines the rules and regulations that people have to live by in order to have a successful life and go to heaven. This part, we need to know several things about this component. The first of which is that this part is pretty much simple. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have designed this part so that the average person can easily understand it. And based on this part, we have many schools of fiqh. You know, not only based on this part of the Quran, but also based on the similar part in the teachings of Prophet Muhammad, based on both the Quran and the Sunnah, we have different schools of fiqh. All the schools of fiqh have a common denominator. This common denominator is, as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that Allah has clearly defined the halal and has clearly defined the haram, and he left an area in between intentionally. Not out of forgiveness, but out of mercy. Because of his mercy, he intended to leave it open, to allow some flexibility, and to avoid putting Muslims into hardships. And in this area, this clear halal and this clear haram is a common denominator between all the schools of fiqh. And then the gray area, they differentiate. I mean, there are different, there are differences between schools of fiqh. And we know the word fiqh in Arabic means the precise, accurate understanding. That's a word, that's an Arabic word. However, this word was borrowed and used as a terminology to indicate the rules of Islam, understanding of the rules of Islam, which is a branch of knowledge by itself. The second thing we need to know about this particular component, which has to do with the rules and regulations of Quran, is that it doesn't change with time and place. And we always face that challenge when we present Islam to non-Muslims. They always come back to us with this question. I mean, they say that the human life is changing and evolving and developing, and new discoveries are coming, and people, cultures are different, and all of that. And then they ask us, we agree, of course, they ask us, and they say, okay, then how can you take a law that was written or was established 1400 years ago in the middle of the Arabia, and that was applied to only the Arabian society in this particular time, in this particular place, and then use this rule, use the rules of this law, and apply it to the people who live today in the 20th century. And of course, you know, the answer to this is very simple, is that the human life, most of the human life is constant, doesn't change with time and place. Not everything in the human life is variable. Most and the majority of the principles of the human life and the concept and of the human life and the areas of the human life are constant, are the same. For example, there always has to be a male and a female. And there has to be a law that regulates what kind of relationship between them are permissible and what kind of relationships are not permissible. Once they marry, they have children, and there are rights and responsibilities of the parents towards the children and the children towards each other and vice versa. And then they make a family. This family lives in a place. This place is either a tent or a house, but it's a place of living. And then they have ways of transportation, which is either a camel or a car or whatever. Now, the families live together. So each family probably have a neighbor. They live together in a community. And then they deal with each other. They trade with each other. So there has to be a market where they exchange things. Once there's a market, then we have the challenge of selfishness and greed, the temptations of selfishness and greed, where people are tempted to, you know, to cheat and tempted to deal with double standards. When they buy, they take more than their fair share. When they sell, they give less than the fair share. And then we have also the temptation that makes people tempting to have a monopoly over certain products so that they can abuse the others, you know. And we have, this is the marketplace. And then when people live in communities, there has to be a governing body that governs this. And the people of the government has to have more power than the people outside of the government, of course. And then here is the power struggle will come in, and the temptation of the love of power will come in. And here is the game of politics is coming. Everything is the same. The human life is almost the same, regardless of time and place. You go to China, you go to here, you go to there, you go 2,000 years ago. Today, it is the same exact temptations. We deal with the same exact human temptations, and the nature of the human life is the same. The only things that change is the only very minor area of the human life that changes, the technology, the use of the technology, the discoveries, the knowledge. But the basic human life is the same regardless of time and place. And this is why Islam has a part that deals with this constant part of life. And this part provides very accurate, tight definitions of what is right and what's wrong. Doesn't have much room. You know, it's, this is right and this is wrong. You can do this, you can't do this. Very, very well-defined, very tight definitions. However, regarding the issues that come, like for example, the trading business or the economy, you know, the way we perform business using credit cards, or the way we perform business using the internet, or the way you perform business in the old way, you know, regarding of these issues, we have general, we have a part of the Quran that provides guidance that has general definitions. It's not tight. It is so flexible that it allows different ways. However, the principle is the same. And we have the moral values of Islam are the most constant part of Islam. This is, if anybody asks you what is the most constant part of Islam, it is the moral code. The moral code in Islam doesn't change with time and place. And the moral code in Islam is the one that governs everything else. Any form of business is okay as long as it doesn't violate the moral code.
Any form of politics is okay as long as it doesn't violate the moral code. Any new thing that comes out, like cloning of human bodies, like this, like that, like tube babies, like selling organs and all of that, as long as it's all governed by the moral code. It goes back to the moral code that governs all these things. And the moral code doesn't change with time and place. So any other way of life or any other religion that changes the moral code can't be right. Something that was immoral cannot be moral today. And something that was moral cannot be immoral today. You know, just as an example, if we look at, for example, having more than one wife, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, and it's written in the Bible and all the Torah and the Quran, had two wives. Now, it means that it was something moral to do, and Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam has done it. Now, why this suddenly became immoral? So, and that's one example. Another example that we can also look at it is a change of moral values with place depending on the economy. For example, if you go to the city, this famous example, if you go to Lake Tahoe has two portions. The eastern portion belongs to Nevada, the western portion belongs to California. And in California, prostitution and gambling is illegal. In Nevada, prostitution and gambling is legal. Why? Because Nevada economy is based on the entertainment industry. And for the entertainment industry to be successful, you need to allow, I mean, they think that you need to allow prostitution and gambling. California economy is not based on that. It's based on agriculture and manufacturing. So prostitution and gambling is illegal. So you have the same city, one street, divides Lake Tahoe into Lake Tahoe, Nevada and Lake Tahoe, California. Two hotels across the street from each other. One hotel, prostitution and gambling is allowed. The other hotel, right across the street, prostitution and gambling is illegal. And that is change of moral values with place. That's wrong. And Islam doesn't permit, regardless of the economy, the moral code has to remain the same. And this is the most constant part of Islam, which is the moral code. Also, because the moral code is based on the attributes of Allah. That's the origin of the moral code. Because the manners of the moral code are coming from the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, the attributes, of course, of beauty. Allah has two kinds of attributes. The attributes of beauty and the attributes of greatness. The attributes of greatness, Allah doesn't want anybody to share these attributes with Him. Because no one is qualified to have these attributes of greatness in this whole entire universe except Allah. And this is the meaning of that we have only one God, means that there's only one God who is the one who can claim all the attributes of greatness. No one else can claim these attributes of greatness. However, the attributes of beauty, Allah wants us to adopt these attributes of beauty. Allah is generous and wants us to be generous. Allah is kind and He wants us to be kind. Allah is fair and He wants us to be fair. And so Allah is merciful and He wants us to be merciful towards each other. So this moral code is coming from the attributes of Allah and the attributes of beauty of Allah. And those attributes don't change. Any other religion that makes a change in the attributes of Allah or a change in the perception of Allah or a change of the views of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be true. For example, you know, before the birth of Jesus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was unseen God of heaven that was worshipped by all those prophets who came before Jesus, who had no idea who was Jesus. What made Him suddenly change to be a man who came to earth and let a bunch of criminal thugs kill Him and crucify Him at the end and humiliate Him in such a miserable way? That's a change. And how come the people who didn't believe into that before the birth of Jesus are biblical prophets who are going to heaven, who are worshipping the true God, and suddenly after the birth of Jesus, anyone who doesn't believe in the crucifixion and resurrection is suddenly going to hell? I mean, these are all changes in the views of God and perception of God are not permissible, because God is God. He doesn't change with time or place. And that is the third nature of that component that we want to talk about. And inshallah, we'll continue in the coming khutbah. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروا. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله إني داع فقولوا آمين.